Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. Welcome to your post-Easter Ghost Rap, and doing business overseas is not easy at all, actually. We know this. It often makes a lot of sense to partner with another group to actually create an operation of scale. There are numerous benefits that come with this, ranging from combined brand strength through to enhanced distribution power. Now, Investec has done exactly this with Rathbones, creating the UK's leading discretionary wealth manager in the process. This is a big step for Investec, selling its wealth and investment business in the UK to Rathbones in exchange for equity. Investec will hold an economic interest of 41.25% in Rathbones and voting rights of 29.9% when all is said and done. The valuation for Investec's business is an implied £839 million. Now, the companies hope to generate annual synergies from the transaction of around £60 million, which I must say does seem quite chunky relative to the value of the deal. Synergies are notoriously difficult to deliver, and most companies tend to overstate that opportunity in pursuit of the deal. Still, this does sound like a sensible transaction, and it will see the Investec brand phased out in favour of Rathbones. Again, to be clear, this is only in the UK. Your Zebra credit card is safe. Combined Motor Holdings has delivered another absolute cracker of a year with HEPS of between 601.2 and 651.3 cents. Now, those numbers mean nearly nothing in isolation, but what I can tell you is that in 2019, HEPS was 285.5 cents, so well under half this number. That was a pre-pandemic year, so it really does seem a little counterintuitive here that the pandemic has been so kind to car dealership businesses. Inflation should make it harder for consumers to afford vehicles, yet this inflationary environment has worked out incredibly well, not just for CMH, but for most of the car dealership businesses. And despite this big jump in profitability, the share price is actually trading in line with 2018 levels. The market simply does not believe that these numbers can be sustained. I thought things would already taper off in the latest financial year, but boy was I wrong. Still, the market is clearly worried, happy to collect the dividends, but nervous of putting too much faith in these numbers. After a long and painful process that was enjoyable only for the lawyers billing by the hour, Northam Platinum has walked away from the Royal Bafokeng Platinum transaction. Remember, Northam still holds roughly a third of the company, so it has sunk considerable shareholder value into the business. This leaves Impala Platinum as the only show in town, with that offer available for acceptance by shareholders. If you're wondering how Northam managed to get out of this deal, the MAC clause is the answer. MAC stands for Material Adverse Change, and in this particular deal it was well defined, referencing PGM prices. The lawyers have definitely earned their fee here. Sometimes it is far more loosely defined, leading to legal disputes and ugly fights down the line. That's what happened during the pandemic in Barloworld's acquisition of Ingrain from Tongaat Hulett, a deal that eventually did go ahead, even though Barloworld tried to get out of it initially. But there's no dispute here with Northam's, with a tight enough MAC clause that the company can walk away and leave the deal to Impala. I don't have great news for you if you are a Pick and Pay investor. In an update for the 52 weeks ended 26th February 2023, diluted headline earnings per share was down between 12 and 18%, and that's ugly. This is the pro forma metric, as the company calls it, which excludes business interruption insurance and hyperinflation in Zimbabwe. This is the right metric to look at. I have to point out that in the 26 weeks to the 1st of January 2023, a more concentrated period of load shedding, ShopRite managed to grow its HEPS by 10.2%. That's a huge swing versus Pick and Pay. And with ShopRite now dipping its toes into clothing retail as well, Pick and Pay will be facing even more competition in that space going forward. And that is an area where Pick and Pay has done really well in recent years. ShopRite has all the financial and supply chain firepower to roll out a chain of stores quickly. So watch out for the unique logo at a mall near you. It's just not quite as unique as one might hope, with many Finn Twitters over the weekend pointing out the resemblance to Japanese chain Uniqlo. In the latest in Tales from the Restructuring Crypt, we have EOH emerging from that crypt and finally stepping into the sunlight with a new and improved balance sheet. After a successful rights offer, it was possible to have a proper conversation with the banks and rework the debt. And the debt package has now been refinanced with Standard Bank, with four facilities ranging from a general banking facility through to a four-year amortizing term loan. There's a lot of science in how debt gets structured. Although I still definitely would not refer to EOH as having low levels of debt, I do agree that the balance sheet looks a lot more sustainable now. And Nampac can only dream of such an outcome at the moment, with no progress being made in reducing its debt. Because of the impact of Forex losses on the earnings in its African subsidiaries, the money is being made somewhere, but they just can't get it to South Africa at a decent rate. Debt facilities of 1.35 billion rand have been extended to June 2024, but this comes at a serious cost, an extension fee and a big jump in the cost of debt for US private placement note holders. Distressed debt is not cheap. The restructuring is subject to Nampac executing a rights offer that will enable a 350 million debt repayment by the end of September 2023. There will also need to be asset disposals of 250 million rand by the end of December 2023, so corporate financiers should be sniffing around Nampac for opportunities right now. But a big rights offer is part of EOH's history and almost certainly part of Nampac's future. These restructurings are tough. Another broken balance sheet is Murray & Roberts, though the share price has been on an absolute charge recently as punters managed to smell some hope in it. The volatility has been insane. Year to date, Murray & Roberts is down around 52% at the time of recording. And just within the past 30 days, it has traded below 80 cents a share and as high as 180 cents a share. And this is what happens when the equity layer in a company is just so thin. At least the sale of Bombela Consortium looks to be going ahead, with net proceeds to Murray & Roberts of 1.26 billion rand. This will reduce group debt to 1.39 billion rand and will drop the annual interest charge by 95 million. You can accuse Glencore of a few things, to be honest, but not of lying back when opportunity knocks. The company made a very opportunistic play for Teck, a Canadian copper, zinc and steelmaking coal group. Teck is in the middle of restructuring its business and shareholding structure, and Glencore saw this as an opportunity to merge and then demerge the companies, effectively creating a dirty business with coal and ferroalloys on one side, and a cleaner business with transition metals like copper on the other. Now this tells you two things about Glencore. The first is that they recognize the need to do something about their underlying commodity exposures long term. Glencore is very heavy on fossil fuels. It also tells you that they will do it in a classic Glencore style, with a knife-edge deal, rather than going and just overpaying for assets that are on the market anyway. Teck was having none of it though, telling Glencore to get lost with this proposed transaction. Glencore would need to sweeten the deal considerably to persuade the Teck board to support it, and even then, money may not be enough if you go and read the reasons for Teck saying no. And finally, if you fancy owning any of the properties in the Rebosis portfolio, now is your chance. The business rescue plan predictably includes putting the entire portfolio on the market, selling as many properties at decent prices as possible, and seeing if there is any equity left at the end once the debt is settled. It really doesn't take a rocket scientist to put together a business rescue plan for a property company because there's literally only so much you can do. I did laugh, however, at the results of the voting by creditors because they need to vote on the business rescue plan. Holders of 8.7 billion rand in debt voted in favor of the plan, but there was one grumpy creditor owed a whopping 22,816 rand who voted against the plan. If you've ever seen that meme of someone squirting a water pistol at the sun, you're getting the right idea here about that voting outcome. And that's a wrap. Remember, nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research.